This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So I am getting ready for Connie Chung to joust her. I am getting into the elevator with all my stuff, and the jouster is too long. The lance is too long for the elevator.
No, it's not collapsible. Not a telescoping jouster.
Because then it would not
collapse when you hit them in the chest.
Believe me, I have had those collapsible jousters, and when you successfully lance them, it collapses, and you are suddenly, you're just like going really fast towards them still.
Yeah.
With your lancer.
Getting lanced.
Yes. And, but the elevator is closing because my lance is so thin. It's really a big knife.
Really a long, thin lance.
And so the doors successfully close. And so the elevator thinks that it is closed, except my whole lance is sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the elevator descends, crushing my lance between
the lance in and bending it in half.
Yes, between the floors, crushing it. And I show up to joust Connie Chung, and she's saying like, oh, I did that.
Oh, like, no. She pretended
that we had already jousted.
Smashed the lance?
Yes, and that she did it. She said, we already jousted, and I did that. And for a second, I'm like, did she? She was so certain.
Assured. Yes, and that is such a great lesson.
And she said, that's the news.
The power of confidence. Oh, no. She told you it was the news. And did the news camera know?
I mean, it's like, it's her job to tell the news camera what is the news.
And they fucking saw they, and they that bought as it. The news.
Yes.
And that's the news now. Oh, Hayes.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names of the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. We've been talking a lot about baths on this show.
It's a bath-based show. We take a bath before and after the show. Obviously, the Earwolf Studio had to put these big tubs into the corners of the room so that Hayes and I could get in a bath when we're lacking inspiration for the show.
And we splash around and we get clean and we do the show as clean boys.
We are not the only audience for the show. There's other people who listen and they don't all have bath-sized rooms. Some of them only have a little narrow box with a spray water come down and a drain
and
on the feet.
And there's a toilet in there too.
And a toilet in the same spot, and they have to stand in the toilet while the water sprays on them. And it's called something called a shower. Now, how do you do it right? We're going to teach you.
Because we've talked before on the show about the experience of taking a shower and the water is blasting down on you and it's knocking you to the ground.
And you're flying all over the place and your clothes are soaked. And
your foot is going down the drain.
And your foot's all the way in the toilet and you didn't flush. So here's the rules, and we're going to go step by step because we get a ton of letters. The mailbox is exploding with these letters of how do I take a shower.
And it seems like people are writing them in the shower.
Oh, yeah. No, they're yucky letters, and they're actually
– the letters are wet.
The whole office smells bad because of the wetness. So first, do all the pee. Get it out. Be done with it.
Don't just do a little bit.
Don't do a little bit and save some to go later in the day so that you have an excuse to leave like a bad date or something to go like, I'm sorry, I just have to pee. I have to go home. You can say that anyway. They're not going to follow you. And if they do, give them a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
After you do the pee, you know what comes next? get a bucket, scoop it up, put it in the yard. If you don't have a yard, put it in the middle of the road. Park a truck above it.
And you can do a show. Like, if you set up a camera, you could do a little show about birds swimming in it. Some people like that stuff.
Not up to me. So you now, the pee's gone. The bucket's gone.
Yes. Now, here's what you do. You get Ryan to get it started for you. Do not start it yourself.
You're going to mess it up.
Engineer Ryan to get the shower to begin for you in a safe way.
He'll come and he's able to make it start slowly.
Yes.
And I don't know if he puts some kind of governor on the pipe, but he is able to do it so that it kind of builds over time and you can get stronger with the shower.
He's some sort of Aquaman where he can make it go faster or slow. He's not willing to reveal how he does this.
We're going to give you a minute breakdown right now. Get out your pen, Scoop Troop, and it's hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, hot, warm. Hot, cold, 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 warm, hot, warm. Cold, hot, 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 cold, cold. And then you turn it off, turn it back on. Obviously, you have to get Ryan to do that part. And then you're going to want to get out of that. Obviously, you're in like a Burberry trench coat. Get out of the trench coat, and now it's time to really get your body wet. I don't know if I mentioned this at the top. You're holding a shotgun. You have a gun with you. Mossberg single pump, 560 military style shotgun, tactical shotgun, as short of a barrel as your state will allow, because of course, when you're in the shower, you are at your most vulnerable.
And you're in a tight, enclosed area, and so a little spread isn't going to be an issue.
Forget it.
You are going to want to shoot the shower.
Please shoot the shower. When you're ready to really get clean, you're going to need to shoot the shower. If you're just taking a shower and it's just trickling out the way Engineer Ryan makes it come out so slow, you're never going to get clean. So that's why you have the shotgun, to protect from varmints and also to actually operate the shower and open it up.
Yes. There, you're going to find some shampoo in the shower.
Shoot it.
The shampoo.
Shoot it. Get your head right next to it. So what it should look like is your head's kind of resting against the bottle, and then the gun comes up just in front of your head. Pull the trigger, and you're going to blast the bottle open, and that should get enough shampoo on your hair that you are ready to wash.
That is the way. We are against shampoo in general, but like if it gets on, if you can say it was an accident like that, like a hunting accident with the shampoo, then it is... then it is okay.
And we're not saying to do this every single day.
No. Use the shampoo once.
Once.
Ever.
That's it. So choose wisely. Because I already have used mine. And I can't do it again.
Mm-hmm. My mom did it to me. She did not let me choose.
Yeah. And that's the kind of household he grew up in. Mm-hmm. And now that it's done for me and I'm kind of stuck, it can really be a problem.
Mm-hmm. You are kind of stuck. You're kind of stuck to your hair.
Oh yeah,
it's a way. Like people are like, no, everyone's like stuck to their hair, but like in your case, it is like really like that.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people ask me, why don't you ever wear a cowboy hat?
Hmm.
Well, the answer is because then I'd always wear a cowboy hat.
You can't get it cut, and it can't grow.
Yeah.
So in that's okay, I guess.
You know, but anyway, this is why it's so important to me that people do learn to shower correctly. So please shoot the shampoo. Please do shoot the soap. And ideally, you're going to put it about solar plexus level and maybe hold it in your hand and then almost like you're jerking off the shotgun, you know, start stroking the soap down the barrel. And then when it gets right to the top, that's when you blast. And the soap should spray up down over your body,
yeah.
and then you really got to rinse really fast
against the wall. The police rub yourself against the wall to get the soap rubbed it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're gonna want to roll around on the wall, roll around on the floor, and maybe dunk your head in a toilet a couple times.
So that's how to do the shower. We have a good guest.
Yeah, sure.
Mitch on Hollywood Handbook.
Okay. So, it's me, it's Brian, Ferry, it's Rosalind Russell, and we're having sex with this Givenchy purse, one of these designer purses, one of these names where it doesn't sound like it looks. Givenchy or Gucci or Snooshny or, you know, the Snoopy dog. I mean, these things, these names are insane to me.
No, you are being
from
fair.
France or something.
Yes.
The names are crazy.
Yes.
These are not American names. I'm sorry. I don't want to get sued, but that's what it looks like from my vantage point.
And how distracting for you as you're
trying to have sex with the purse with Brian Eno, Brian right. Ferry.
Yeah.
And Bri with a Y ends with a Y.
Yeah.
Bri with an I starts with an E. So that's how I remember there too. So anyway, so Ferry and Rosalind and Brian Ferry says, I think there's a bunch of gushers in this purse.
Yeah.
And Rosalind goes, I don't.
Not anymore.
Yeah, and I am terrified to learn what either of them means.
Yeah.
So, you know, I tighten my blindfold and just and sort of shove the earplugs even further in and wound up hurting myself pretty badly.
Okay. See, when I go to those little events, I pretend, because we're all blindfolded, I am usually pretending to, like, be getting in there. I'm, like, making the noises and all that.
That's but a based really on nice this, purse.
Based on the stuff that they're saying, I don't want to know. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, what's going on in there. But I find that as far as, like, networking goes, I'm getting as much, like, approval from them as if I were actually in there. Makes me wonder if they are actually pretending.
Well,
to.
I do wonder if everyone's sort of pretending. I know that I'm not, but, you know, there's a lot of, obviously, germophobes in Hollywood. Yeah. I am a germaholic. I must have more germs. Anytime somebody tries to make me put gloves on or something, I go, no, and I just shove my hands in whatever it is that, you know.
And you are getting, you get very irritable.
If I don't have enough germs.
Yes.
Well, yes, because my whole thing is I don't want anyone else to be able to get me sick. I need to be so sick that I can get you sick.
Yes, that you cannot get sick because you are so sick.
Mm-hmm, because I am the mighty germ lord.
Very sad, unfortunate for you, and I am willing to say this, even though I know you don't like to complain, but your germ tolerance is so high that it's very hard. You are having to discover new germs, new bigger germs to make you sick at this point.
It's true, and I have been dumping a lot of my dough into space germs and seeing what's out there, because if I can get a germ off an asteroid or something that maybe doesn't know about these germs that I have and maybe could trick them somehow, because the ones I have are getting pretty cunning.
Yeah. You're looking for a Shawn-resistant microbe or something.
It's all anti-Shawn medication to me. I'm just trying to get out of my own way.
Hi! Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
What up, what up? We got a corker.
We do these other shows. We
do fucking favors for people.
We will participate in this world, this podcast world, to see how other people are doing it, and sometimes we like bring some of that back here.
Yep.
And we did the Doughboys show, and we have the one. Mitch is here; he's doing our show now. And
I'll say about Doughboys, of all the shows that I completely do not understand. That one's probably my favorite.
It is like, I don't know.
Out of all the ones, it's great.
People like it is great. I love
this. That's awesome.
I love it.
We need more stuff.
I love that people are excited about this. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it's so negative now on the internet. Bird flu. Everybody's mm-hmm. so upset, yeah, you SARS. Know, about SARS and all this. Mm-hmm. And so for people to rally around the Doughboys podcast, which I do not get, mm-hmm. Is just nice. Reminds me of, you know, families gathering around the hearth in olden yeah. time and warming their boots.
What is the – why do people like
mm-hmm. – What's going on?
What is this?
Well, thank you for having me, my
yeah,
friends.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I don't really understand the show either. So
it's modest. Complicated for starters.
It's complicated. I'm happy to be on a show that I do understand.
The rules of the show today. Are, yes.
Yeah, yes.
This, what we're doing here is very simple, very straightforward. What you guys do, there are so many rules.
There are a lot of rules.
That I think it's designed, it's like people want to be like, oh, I get this because they want to seem smart.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's a hoity-toity
yeah.
type of podcast.
It's like Pinchon.
It mm-hmm. yes.
It's mm-hmm. a lot like Pinchon.
It's a lot like Pinchon, yes.
Where people go, oh, I know Pinchon. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. You know, yeah. the crazy accent but do he you does really, Balky.
Do you really other, know yes. him?
But then and, you see the Langoliers and you're like, do I really know yeah. Pinchon?
And you don't.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Doughboys is like that.
That's mm-hmm. my favorite mm-hmm. Pinchon is the Langoliers.
Is the Langoliers? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That for me, as a child, I didn't like Balky. I didn't think he was funny or had a funny voice. Mm. But then when I saw Pinchon and Langoliers, that's when I finally became a big fan of his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me ask you this as a, and this is not a gotcha thing. It's just me asking questions.
Just a question.
Do you eat the food?
No.
Okay.
I've never eaten.
Okay. So this is what we Great. Say on our show. Mm-hmm. This is what, like, we talked about on our show and weren't sure if it was okay.
Yeah.
Is that you, told us when we went to do the show, you're like, we don't eat the food. We just talk. We watch videos of other people eating it, and then we talk mm-hmm. like they talk. And the only thing that I eat from this show is MILF pussy.
That's what you said.
That is the truth. Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically, Stifler, the original MILF pussy, Stifler's mom,
Jennifer mom, Coolidge.
Jennifer Coolidge. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it's if you want to get very specific about it, it's Jennifer Coolidge's pussy that I'm eating.
Mm-hmm.
We
Coolidge Cooley.
Coolidge, a little Coolidge Cooley.
Mm-hmm. The Coolidge.
It's actually warmer than you'd think with mm-hmm. a name like Coolidge. Anyway, yeah, no, it's MILF pussy. Why you know, Nick Weiger, Nicholas was he approached me about doing this podcast. I said I don't want to eat that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat any of it. And
Nick on Twitter too much?
Nick maybe has never been off Twitter.
Boy, that's sad.
I feel like he's
– Is he trying to get you to do it more?
Yeah.
I'll get a text from him and say, haven't seen many tweets lately. And
yeah.
So I'll get on and I'll try to tweet something out. Yeah.
He's on you. And then what
– So he can talk – he wants you to get on there and like talk about Milo Yiannopoulos and like –
Stop. Is that the is yeah yes oh yes yes no he pushes every belief that he has onto me.
His liberal agenda
his liberal agenda I think it used to be a liberal agenda.
Yeah, it's morphed a little bit and it's not really clear where his feet are, because I think there's a backlash to the backlash going on where he's gone all the way the other direction.
Yes.
I don't want to talk about Nick the whole time, but most of the podcast will be us talking about Nick.
Yes. Oh, I could do that for a full hour. You know, Milo, when you first said Milo, in my head, I thought about the Greek freak
when I said Milo Yiannopoulos, you thought I was talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Uh-huh. Yes. Okay.
Is that slightly racist or?
Well, people have called some of your sports fandom into question.
Yeah,
that you just know a set of very few names like Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Wait, is this true?
And
yes,
I think you have proved them wrong by me saying the name of a white hate speech artist making you think of a basketball player for the Milwaukee Bucks.
It shows that I know.
That you have sort of heard other names.
Oh, yeah.
It shows that I maybe don't know much of anything, apparently. Someone told me about that I had heard that someone said that I was a Fairweather fan or something.
You're fake gamer girl.
I'm a fake gamer girl is what I was getting, and it's funny to me because do they want me to say do I have to say people on the offensive line's name to prove that I'm a fan or something?
Could
like
you?
That?
Well, let's just do it.
Yeah, Marcus Cannon.
Dante Hightower.
Okay, so that's good. Now, that's a specific person that someone was saying Mitch hasn't talked about, is not going to talk about Dante Hightower because knows
was I supposed
Tom Brady.
To be like, he forced a fumble.
Wow.
He forced a fumble that changed the game. Wow. Or am I supposed to say that last year Marcus Cannon did such a bad job and I wanted him to be off the team?
And then this year he's playing like an all-pro.
And he's playing like an all-pro this year. Or that Shaq Mason –
yeah,
was almost the Marcus Cannon of this year. Is that enough for you people to get off
for
my
someone
back?
Who's so anti-eating, Mitch? You certainly are making a lot of your fans eat shit.
Yeah, it's interesting that you won't eat the shitty food you talk about, but you want them to.
But
actually
you will
eat
force
shit.
Your fans to eat some shit right here on the podcast,
and you're dumping right in their mouth.
I mean, a part of me, Nick has all these political beliefs, and one of them is population control.
Yes.
And so
I've heard about that. He is sort of talking about this before and after.
He wants you
podcast
to have to take
record.
A test.
Like, yes.
That you genetically.
Yes. A living test.
Yes. You have to be genetically superior and I guess more like him or whatever in order to procreate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's very much. And his way, he said that we could kill a lot of people off by doing this podcast and pushing this awful fast food and this unhealthy diet on people and that, they'll eventually pass away from clogged arteries.
So he's trying to make it sound more appealing to eat some of this, let's face it, very shitty food.
Very shitty, bad food, yeah.
Yeah.
And he wants them to be hurt and die from that.
That's right,
And that's what Nick likes.
Whether, his big one is the clogged arteries, heart attack, cancer. But his big one is he thinks that a lot of people will get into accidents just going to get the food, in the drive-thru.
And laughing so hard. Listening to him.
I've
heard him talk about this.
Yes.
People will be listening to me in their cars and they'll be laughing so hard.
He pulled me aside. He went, "You ever wonder why I'm so funny on there?" And I was like, "Oh, I didn't even know." Like, that's what you were doing. He's like, "Have you ever wondered why I'm so fucking funny the whole time during the show?" And I was like,
"Why could that be? Let's think about that. Why could it be that I'm being so funny?"
Yeah. And I was like, "Oh, maybe you just want to have fun with your friends. Like, that's kind of what we like to do." Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Guess again, And I was like, and maybe you're insecure or you're trying to get validation or maybe it's to advance your career." And he was like, "No, man. Because I want to see these fucking chumps burn up in a wreck."
He thinks – so it's timed specifically. I don't know if he's taught you this too, but he thinks that people will be eating the food. He'll be like, "Okay, let's all take a bite of food now." Mm-hmm. And then he'll just rip out a joke that will cause that will seal up their throat from laughter.
Well, and if you'll notice, he won't be funny at all for the first 20, 25 minutes, sometimes hour of the show.
He really commits to not being funny.
And then what'll happen is he'll suddenly bust out something he thinks is very funny. And I think it's timed so that the people are comfortably in their commute, sort of lulled into, a bit of a hypnotic, trance.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden here comes a joke and maybe it makes them punch the gas or swerve off into the shoulder.
Do you he has said to me before, and I should have kind of been clued into this, but he said – I want to Roger Rabbit them to death. And
yeah.
I said, "What did you mean by that?"
Yeah.
And he said, "The weasels." And
yeah.
I was like, "Oh." And
that's how he sees people.
That's
because
how he thinks that he can make them laugh so much that their souls will leave their body.
Because Weiger does exclusively movies for children. And he believes that this is on the life test. He believes that if you enjoy movies for adults, then you don't deserve to share the world with him.
I asked him, I said, what is the last non-animated feature that you've seen? And he stood there and he was thinking deep in thought. And I actually walked away. I never got an answer.
You had to go home.
I had to go home, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've talked, obviously, Star Wars is for babies. Mm-hmm. And that's Nick's favorite thing is like stuff for babies. Mm-hmm. And I have heard, you know, he'll often talk about his lovely wife, but she's frustrated because he sleeps with a Star Wars mobile that I guess has a lot of lights on it above his bed. And it's getting hard for her to get enough sleep to get to work because it also makes like pew, pew noises.
Pew sounds. Yes, yeah. I know. I heard that. I've heard that too. I thought it was a rumor, but I think it is the truth. Yeah. He's
really, why would she lie about that?
Yeah, she wouldn't. We're on a duck pin bowling league, she and I. And, you know, we'll send the pin sailing and chew the fat a little
And they
bit.
Go, they can talk there because they can't record, like, because he will, like, tap her, like, he'll, like, bug her body, basically. Uh-huh.
She never knows where the mic is.
Recording devices on her body, but in a bowling alley, it's like it's drowned out by the ambient sound of the duck pins.
Mm-hmm. Weiger, yeah, he's obsessed. I always say, why are you so obsessed with child stuff? Like, why do you want to be a kid? And he says, I don't remember that part of my life.
Yeah, never had a childhood.
Yeah, and I'm saying to you, but I'm like, no one really remembers being a baby is what I try to tell him.
Yeah.
Like, no one actually really remembers that time of their life.
He won't accept that.
He's like, I'm going to.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to recapture it somehow. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to somehow jog that memory back by putting himself in a lot of baby situations.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't wear diapers or anything. I mean, let's – come on. He doesn't do that sort of thing.
He's not.
He wears one diaper.
I'm sorry.
No, but one at a time. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't wear like multiple diapers.
He wears one at a time.
A big cloth diaper.
Obviously, if you know, you guys will record for almost 2 hours sometimes, he'll go through three or four of them, but never multiple on at once.
You guys have been in the studio. I don't have to even say. I mean, you see what you see.
So. Yeah. But for people, yeah, I think it's good for people at home.
For listeners. Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, for them to know, dirty dighty, Nikki got a changey. And that's sort of the signal that will come through your headphones.
So that's what that means when you hear that on the show.
We've tried to edit some of them out, but, you know, when it's happening a lot in an episode.
And sometimes he's doing it over like something really good that you're saying. Like, I think intentionally to try and get that cut out. Mm-hmm. He'll be like, oh, we have to cut that because I did the changey thing. We have to cut out that.
Yeah.
That riff that you were doing.
Yes. Or something, I'm saying something intelligent or something like
that. He
tends
to time it with a lot of the groundbreaking observations that you make about our society, about science and culture. And I know I always leave having been educated, and sometimes when I listen to the actual show, that's lacking.
Yeah, thank you.
And he somehow is able to gut these very convincing arguments you'll make for.
Yeah, because he can't be making it dirty that much.
Yeah. No, because he doesn't even eat enough.
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about what you do eat. Milk Pussy, obviously, but also you'll always have, I mean, you've got with you right now a big thermos of just wheatgrass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
pure wheatgrass, yeah.
And you're, I guess, shoveling that in your face and trying to become more like a plant. Talk about why that is so good.
It's becoming a, I mean, like, listen, I think that we're one with the earth. We go back to the earth when we're done with this world.
I'm a pebble.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a pebble.
In the long line of things, you are a pebble.
Pebble in the riverbed. River erodes. It becomes a soil. Soil becomes a plant. Mm-hmm. You know, plant put the oxygen. I'm breathing that. Okay, I'm a pebble.
I'm a stick.
He's a stick right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, you guys said that, but then – I think that a pebble and a stick are at a higher level than a human being. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. They're more honorable.
In a lot of ways, and in actually every way, that is true.
They're more honorable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have a lot more honor.
They're honest.
They're honest. They're never
going to. They're straight up.
They're not going to let you down.
They won't let you down.
You can trust a pebble to be a pebble.
That's true. And you know what? You know what else I can say about a pebble? A pebble's going to be here a lot longer after you are.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, even though mm-hmm. I am one.
I mean, yes, in that yeah. in that way.
I mean, I could say the same thing about water or moss.
Moss, hey, moss is going to be here a lot longer than you are.
Yeah, a lot longer than you are. Yeah. Yeah.
Water, same with water. Maybe not. Maybe water runs out first.
And Randy Moss is someone you know.
Randy Moss is a Patriot receiver.
Mm.
So, and now that's a little more shit for the people at home to eat.
If yeah. If you think about Moss.
Yeah.
He's actively on the roster now, yeah.
If you think about Gaia or Mother Earth, mm. you don't think about how during a Patriots game how they're using the Earth.
No, no. You don't.
No,
and see, you don't.
It's a
notice.
Huge aspect of the game is the ground and dirt.
It's MVP.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Julian Edelman will talk a lot MVP? about Huna, the sort of Hawaiian philosophy. You know, capturing that aloha spirit. Mm. And he'll talk about that from underneath his big mystical beard.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, sit down for this. You should actually hear this.
Kevin, you're going to want to hear this.
Don't take pictures right now. This is actually, you should be
this
learning.
This isn't something we take pictures of. This is something that we learn about.
I feel cheated that Jonah Ray never taught me of Huna.
Oh, Jonah didn't talk to you about Huna?
He never taught me about Huna.
I believe it was actually a white scientist who went to Hawaii and then kind of came up with a Hawaiian word for the philosophy that he invented, and now it's attributed to the Hawaiian people. But it really has that aloha spirit, and see, the ocean's saying hello and goodbye all at once, isn't it?
It's, you know, I don't.
And mean, I love you.
Yeah.
And here, have some salt.
I don't mean to get mad at the Hawaiian
The answer to the question that he was saying, isn't it doing that?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, of course. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought that was a given. Okay. I apologize. Good.
That's okay.
I just want, because people will think we cut that out.
Oh, no.
When he asked you to direct.
The answer is yes.
Yes. Okay.
There's no, I know that you guys have, there's no cuts in this podcast, which I appreciate, mm-mm. which ours is, as you know, is heavily edited.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to get mad at the Hawaiian people.
Oh, yes. Saying. I'm sorry. I don't agree with aloha being hello. And I think you should have two words.
Yeah. Well, and did Jonah Ray teach you about that?
I can
at
see
all?
How that would be confusing if the guy is saying aloha. If someone's coming up to you and saying aloha, and you're like, okay, we just got here.
I feel like you would be insulted
you
by that.
You just showed up.
Yeah. Fuck you, buddy.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things Jonah did not teach
Why
me.
Why is everyone hiding America from Jonah? You know what I mean? Seems like a lot of it should be available.
Uh-huh.
And able to be seen. I know I'm proud of my little corner of America.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I wrote
El Segundo.
I wrote on Hidden America for two seasons, and that was. I agree with you. I was saying the same thing. Why does it have to be hidden?
Why is it hiding?
Yeah, I agree.
And if they're hiding it, is it because it's such an ugly part of America?
Mm-hmm.
And do we really even want to expose that?
I don't think so.
Yeah. And maybe Jonah's doing a disservice to the American people.
I think so, too. If CISO is listening,
mm-hmm.
the CISO honchos should probably shut it down.
Maybe we don't need to see so much of America. Maybe we could just look at the parts that we like already.
Midge, have you ever been curious to actually try spaghetti? And... we thought we could do a real Doughboys and eat a little spaghetti on the show.
And Hayes made spaghetti
really?
From scratch.
Yes.
And it's good. And Kevin's going to get to see some of this spaghetti. He's
Kevin
never seen
will
it
try
either.
It first.
Kevin's going to eat it. And,
so you know it's real spaghetti.
And actually, and you have some sauce for that too. Am I right, Hayes?
Yeah, I could make some sauce.
This is frustrating because you guys have gone with me to the restaurant. I'll get spaghetti meatballs. I'll tell them I don't want to hold the spaghetti. I don't want any of the spaghetti.
Mm-hmm. And then
that's
you'll
right.
say I don't
yes.
eat meatballs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know.
Kevin, describe the spaghetti.
And then you'll just be crushing wheatgrass.
It's not coming out of the cup. Oh, a big dry chunk came out. Now Hayes is smashing it into the bowl.
And that spaghetti's perfect. It's very al dente, which is, of course, the best kind of spaghetti.
It's cup noodle spaghetti.
And it's extremely al dente.
And Kevin will try some
Break
first.
Your teeth al dente.
I wish I didn't eat all those bagels.
Yeah, Kevin and ate bagels and he's like bragging about it.
Is this shrimp?
You're the guy who's eating it.
Are you allergic?
I'm a vegetarian.
Ah.
Just eat the
spaghetti.
Sorry,
Mitch, guess you have to have it.
Just eat the spaghetti part.
That's a thing, right?
Do I have to swallow?
I know you've never eaten spaghetti before, but yeah, that's how it works.
Tastes shrimpy.
I would like to guarantee that there is no shrimp in that cup noodle.
There is a little one. It looks like...
I think that's just a rogue shrimp that got into the package.
Oh, that accidentally got in.
Can I put some of the seasoning on it, Hayes?
Yes. Put a little seasoning on
it. Okay. And if... And Kevin, if you could describe the seasoning for a moment,
it's like
I think people would appreciate it. And Hayes was nice enough to get some of these fresh herbs. These are grown in some of the Virginia farms.
So you and your vegetable stuff, you should love this because this is from a farm. Now, please describe it, Kevin.
Please describe. And maybe get some pictures of this, Kev.
Yeah. It smells like when my grandpa used to come back from his long job as a semi-truck driver, and he would go outside.
And smoke Camel Crushes?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Camel Crush, regular fresh. Regular play button symbol fresh.
Did you break it on the crush part?
Yeah, I worry about getting some of the crush on there. Because I don't know exactly what the crush is.
The crush?
Yeah, I don't know if you're supposed to eat the crush part.
Oh, Hayes.
You can eat the crush.
That's the best part.
Just eat a little bit of it.
A lot of people don't want to eat the crush, but you know me. That's good spaghetti. And the seasoning.
I'm going to put the sauce on top.
I actually think the sauce looks good.
Yeah, the sauce is very tantalizing. It's a green sauce. Kevin, describe the sauce.
It looks like the thing my grandpa would take after a long day as a truck driver and smoking, and he'd get headaches. He would take two of these with a small cup of water.
It's stuck in there. How do you get it out?
I think you get a...
Scissors? You probably need a smasher machine or some kind of slice-o-matic. Remember how funny Dan Aykroyd was on SNL?
Ryan has...
Who on SNL?
Remember Aykroyd on SNL?
Specifically for this purpose of cutting open an Advil liquid gel.
Now, Ryan, I didn't know you served in the military.
Put on spaghetti.
And I've never thanked Ryan for his service, and maybe explains why he's so quiet on the show is he's like shell-shocked or something. Because a lot of our other engineers are eager to participate, but Ryan's sort of always in
Ryan
his own
Ryan does kind of
world.
Seem like he's hearing helicopter noises. Okay, good. It's working now.
Here we go. Okay, yes. Yeah, oh, yeah. No, it is. It is. You're successfully.
I think you put the shell in there, Hayes. I think that adds a nice color. I think that it's a feast for the eyes.
Yeah, you should put the shell in.
Please put the shell in, Hayes, because I think it's, you know, what you need to realize about the culinary experience. Is it too spicy?
Too spicy.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it so spicy.
Yeah, well, and it's burning hot, and it is. We obviously did the hot pepper challenge last week, and Hayes and I are very sensitive to spice.
Yeah, but that.
Did you want me to eat some of the spaghetti?
Yes, eat some of the spaghetti.
Mitch,
do you want more sauce or is that enough sauce?
I think that is actually plenty of sauce.
Okay.
Okay, and so he thinks that's enough sauce.
I just heard that it was very spicy.
And if you want to put the seasoning in too.
Wait, Kevin, this is visual. You're not a guest. Take pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
There is a little shrimp. There is one shrimp. It is like, but I do think that it just got in there. Kind of like Finding Dory or something.
It's a shrimp on the box.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very good.
Yeah, and spaghetti can be good and good for you in small doses.
So how many is the spaghetti, and I know you do this on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we decide how many the food is with the spaghetti, with the Camel Crush on top, mm-hmm. and the Advil liquid gels poured over it.
I'm going to give it...
How many spaghettis?
I'm going to give out of a possible 60...
Thousands, I think.
Out of a possible thousands of spaghetti.
Why limit it?
Yeah.
Why put a limit on it?
I hate that we limit ourselves in this culture. I mean, there's nothing you can't achieve if you put your mind to it, and spaghetti is living proof of that.
I'm going to say out of a possibility of endless thousands of spaghettis.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this one 12,000 spaghettis.
Okay. I'm going to give it 6,000. No.
Just six?
Six spaghettis.
Six spaghettis?
Yeah, because I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the Camel Crush does take away a little bit of the spaghetti flavor. And I would rather eat a bowl of Camel Crush
mm-hmm. yes.
and then a bowl of just spaghetti.
That's mm-hmm. that's fair.
You know, and have two spoons going at once.
Yes.
And I put both I'm spoons in
way.
My mouth.
I'm the same way. People say, like, I'm like, I don't like lasagna. And they're like, but you like tomato and you like cheese and you mm-hmm. like spaghetti.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
But it's the same with this. Like,
it's too messy. And I am reminded of LL Cool J's character in the movie Toys mm-hmm. who says, I'm a military man. I eat a military meal.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't want the Camel Crush to touch his spaghetti or the spaghetti to touch his Camel Crush. He wants them to have their own sort of world. Mm-hmm. And he chooses when they get combined.
Then he's Jack Nichol. Then I'm Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson is in the movie.
Jack
you guys
Nicholas.
Just don't remember it. Jack Nicholas.
You're thinking of Jack Nicholas.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholas is in the movie. But he's
the shark.
Is he related to Robin Williams in the movie?
He must be.
Yeah.
He is. Okay.
He's his son.
So I like all the ingredients involved in that dish. I like Camel Crushes. I now know that I like spaghetti.
Mm-hmm. We found out.
Uh-huh. And I like Advil liquid gels. I just don't, you know, my 12,000 spaghetti rating was actually low. I don't know if you guys got that.
I did get that.
Yeah.
Because I give it a million spaghetti and I didn't even like it that much.
Yeah, it's not good.
I will say this, though.
I like how it does make part of my mouth frozen.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's happened for any of you.
Yeah. Well,
I've experienced something similar to that, I think.
There's so much pressure to move your jaw these days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like all the celebrities you see are like moving their jaw all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's as if you're not doing that, you're some nobody. Mm-hmm. So I like that this spaghetti just says, hey, man, hold it for a second. Let's catch our breath. Let's not be able to feel or operate our jaw muscle.
And it does not, but it doesn't say not, it doesn't say not to do this on the package.
I'm going to go one further than you and say, I prefer Advil liquid gels out of the shell. And I think that Advil should just sell liquid. It should just be Advil liquid.
Just be gel.
It should be no liquid.
No, just liquid.
Just liquid in a. They should sell a little serve or
Advil
sell a little
liquid.
Bottle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably right, Mitch. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually really smart. It's the kind of thing that Nick Weiger would take out of the show.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And here we are showcasing, like, okay, this guy's got
we're making this
big
a central,
ass brain.
Uh-huh. We are going to make this a central part of the show, Mitch.
This will be on a loop. This will be
Ryan,
most of the
can you
show.
Really showcase this part, please?
Yeah, can you sort of isolate it, pump the vocals, drop out the treble? And maybe put in like a sound bed of what would be good for this, a bongo or something, so that you know, like, okay, something big's happening.
So people will know, like, this is like going to a movie theater and you're seeing the previews and people will know that this part is like the movie. This is the main show.
This is the main movie.
Yes.
And everything before
you're thinking
was
of
the
teaser.
Trailers.
You're thinking of teasers.
Teasers.
You're both thinking of teasers. But yes.
Have you ever gone to a movie theater and thought that one of the trailers was the movie? You know what I mean? And just like walked out before the actual movie started?
When I was a baby, that happened a lot. And I'd end up leaving.
And I could go to the movies
into
by
my
myself.
Stroller.
I was allowed to go to the movies by myself.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was like not to be all about Roger Rabbit this time, but I was like the little baby Herman or whatever. And so I'd chomp on my cigar in the stroller, and I'd be like, hey, Toots, bring it over here.
And you could talk.
Oh, yeah. And I had a big old, you know, studio head voice.
Do you remember the first movie you saw? Mine, actually, funny enough, kind of is a callback to this episode itself. The first movie I saw in the theaters.
Okay, can we guess?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what's some of the stuff we talked about? Moss, the Moss movie?
The Moss movie.
What movie? Moss movie, mm-hmm. So Fern Gully.
Yeah, it could be Fern Gully.
Think about Moss.
Okay, if you guys want to guess Fern Gully, you theaters. Can.
Okay, what about Huna Spirit?
Yeah.
Maybe it's that Wiener documentary with Huma.
I don't see how it could be anything else.
Wiener, the documentary Wiener.
The documentary Wiener is the second movie I ever saw.
What's the main one?
The Great Outdoors, a reference to Dan Aykroyd, who you mentioned moments before.
Remember him on SNL?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of movies, we would sometimes do a segment on the show called Popcorn Gallery, and I thought about doing that with you, but I was worried that you might say popcorn too much, and sort of unnerve some of the listeners.
I've done a lot of research, and that is actually how it is pronounced.
It is pronounced popcorn, mm-hmm. And everyone else is wrong except you.
Everyone else besides me is wrong, and the inventor of popcorn.
Popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Wait, why he says talk, it wrong also?
Why do you talk all fucked up? I've wondered this. It's a joke or you're fucking really like this?
It's just a joke.
Yeah.
It's a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
You guys know about comedy.
Yeah, I've learned a lot about it from Nick.
Mm-hmm. One of the funniest things to do is to say words wrong.
Disagree.
Really?
I would never stoop that low.
No.
I would never stoop that low. That's such a cheap laugh. That's trash. I see somebody do that, I write them off immediately.
I deck them.
Wow.
I'll knock them out cold. If I really get a sense that they're faking it.
Ass out.
Now, if you genuinely speak incorrectly,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, you're shooting from the hip and you make a little mistake, that can be kind of funny.
Mm.
But if you're trying to say words and names wrong and some of that stuff, you're basically the lowest form of creature on the being. You're worse than obviously a pebble or a stick. You're worse than man. You're worse than a slimy lizard on this belly salamander kind of thing.
Jeez.
What's a lower? Centipede.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I mean, I took classes at the UCB theater.
Yeah, I know.
Every level.
I've never taken a class in natural.
I taught you.
You taught me every level.
A lot of moves.
I felt like I maybe should have gotten.
Yeah, you kept being like, I think I should try to get another teacher. Or like mm-hmm. maybe nobody in the community really knows me. Like you say I'm doing good work,
yeah.
but it's like only you get to see it. Because I would isolate you from the rest of the class to do your scenes alone with me behind a little sort of like dressing.
Like a Japanese.
Area. Yeah.
So they could see the silhouette.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of changing and throwing clothes over the top.
Often the scene was about the shadow being created.
Mm-hmm.
And that the words were sort of cryptic, where they could be about the two of us having some sort of exchange of fellatio.
But
it would really be just that I was like helping you, you know, fix a light bulb.
I got a question for you. I mean, that to me is also people perceiving shadows in the wrong way is, after saying the words wrong.
That's a valid comedy technique.
Seeing, the Naked Gun school of comedy, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mini-me.
Mini-me, very funny.
Mini-me.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Do you say jalapeno puppers?
I was going to ask you if Kabuki theater is your favorite form of theater.
Oh, in terms of all the theaters?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to think because there's other theaters,
other
too.
Kinds, yeah.
Yeah, let's see. I think roller skating.
Roller derby is kind of
a... That's kind of a good, that's a good theater.
shooting, like Annie Oakley style shooting theater.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Western mm-hmm. theater?
Yeah.
Western, yes. Mm-hmm. Western theater.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, L'Opera.
Oh, I forgot.
But I would say probably for me, mm-hmm. Kabuki is top 10.
Okay.
And it's high up in the top 10, around number one. So the mm-hmm. makeup, the dance, the funny language, mm-hmm. if there is any, the makeup on the face, mm-hmm. the hands, the fans, the clothes, the girls.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Am I going to get arrested? PC warriors, get out your rifles.
Yeah.
Girls, makeup.
Fans.
The fans. The dancing. Sometimes the language. And the girls.
The Japanese language?
Is that what you're talking about?
Could be. Moshi Moshi? I'm in. I don't need to hear anything else. We're having fun.
Have you ever had – sorry to bring it back to food.
Oh, go ahead.
Even though you know I don't like it, but have you ever had a mochi?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, okay. Yes.
Wow, I thought that you would like it. It's a packaging of ice cream, and I feel like it solved the issue of – it's almost the liquid gel thing.
He thought it was a pebble.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was my dad, actually, because I am a pebble, and this looked like a larger pebble.
It is big. I was going to say it's big for a pebble.
I thought it was my biological father.
I get that.
And what happened was it was so delicious, I thought that I had devoured my biological father at one point. And, you know, as I ate the entire thing, saying the whole time I shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. And then I went to confess to my – I'm a member of the Rosicrucian faith. So mm-hmm. I went to the Rosicrucian church and
With
a gooey mouth. And I said, you know, I've devoured my papa mm-hmm. and can someone absolve me or take my life? And they did neither. Because it had turned out that it was, as you know, just a common dessert.
Mochi, mm-hmm. mochi.
I don't want to spoil anything.
No,
for
don't.
A story that I'll never tell. But
go ahead.
It just sounds a lot similar to what happened to me when my father passed away too. I was going to say that mochis. I was going to say that just all I wanted to say that mochis are the liquid gels of the ice cream world.
That's yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yo.
Can you showcase that ride, please? Are you there? Oh, yeah, you're over there. Can you just showcase that part?
I will.
That's really good.
Because Mitch said it twice, and I think he felt like it wasn't getting the, like, the good sonic treatment the first time.
Sonic.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Did you really make a mark, or are you?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I'll sound design it. It'll sound really nice.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. Good.
Do you guys agree with that?
Did you say Pup Star? Did you call that movie Pup Star?
Yeah.
Pup Star, never stup, never stupping.
Pup Rocks.
Pup Tarts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys don't have
Greg Popovich. I know you know that as your sports genius.
Yeah, of course. He's a head coach.
Mm-hmm. Gotta be. One of the main ones.
Gotta be.
Of a Texas team.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You guys don't speak the way I speak, and which makes me you're New Englanders, so maybe I am doing something wrong. Honestly, now I'm kind of down.
I feel was sad. Your family fucked up?
Because that can actually be really good for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying like,
well, like you talk all fucking shitty, and I'm wondering if maybe your family did it to you and not the region. And so if that's what happened, maybe you had a fucked up family, which can be
that could
great
be an interesting story. At the Moth, Mitch. Yeah. Mitch. Yes,
Mitch. No.
Could you be the Moth?
The fucking Mothman prophecies, baby. Let's get you in there, man. I'm seeing a prophecy right now. Mitch owning the Moth stage. Blowing them away.
You're asking basically if I have like a weird, like clump-like family. That yes. is all yes. Mitch-like. That,
what if
like,
you were raised with some religion? I mean, that could be a very unique experience that needs to be repeated many times over.
Actually, my family wasn't religious.
Wow, whoa! That's even more.
Holy shit. Storyable. There's a story there. We're moth not, it up.
We're not religious. And as you know, I only really respect Mother Earth. I don't believe in any sorts of gods. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you have these views of me from this podcast that's just kind of full of lies. None of this stuff really has ever happened.
You're a faker.
Yeah. Popcorn.
Yeah.
I don't say it wrong. Is that wrong? Popcorn?
No, that's fine.
Pop.
But I get that this is an interesting character that you were doing.
I just said popcorn in did you guys notice that my nose started to bleed?
Dude's got to bounce, man.
Bye.
I'm a horny girl wolf. This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Colin Anderson, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com. Ow.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.